Evening.
Evening.
It's great to be with you here this evening. And for the week, really enjoyed my visit here, and just thank the Lord for the saints here. And thought tonight we would look at the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to look at Daniel in three different aspects. We're going to look at Daniel in chapter 1. He was a young man, probably would have been between the age of 14 to 17. And then you come to chapter 6. He's a middle-aged man. And we're going to look at Daniel, his life as a middle-aged man. And then we're going to see him as an old man in chapter 6. We can follow the span of Daniel's life, right from a teenager, right to an old man. And we could see a man that was faithful to his God and who never wavered. And so I found it a great encouragement just looking at this, and trust that tonight might be an encouragement to you. And so let's look here at Daniel chapter 1. And maybe we'll start in at verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand the part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princess, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skilled in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability to them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. If you don't go down to verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You go to verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And down to verse 20. In all manner of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the musicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And that's all we'll read here in chapter 1. We see Daniel as a young man. I was watching our wedding video about 6 months ago, and I started to watch it. I watched it about 40 minutes. I had Melanie and the girls were there, and I had left and I had to go do something, and 4 hours later I came back and, well, they were still watching this video. But it's amazing. It's been 18 years, and you think, well, not a lot has changed in 18 years, but a lot of things have changed. And we started to watch the video. It was a different dress. The man that was taking the video, you could see it was VHS, big camcorder. I had changed a lot, a little bigger now, but there was a lot of changes. And I just got thinking as you look at Daniel here, there was a lot of changes in his life. But there was one constant in his life, and that was his connection with his God. And we can look at Daniel here as a young man, 14 to 17 years of age. He has to make very difficult choices here in chapter 1. We can see him as a middle-aged man. We can see him as an old man, but all the way through, there's no wavering. He's got his eyes on his God, and it's his connection with his God that really makes Daniel the great man that we're reading about here in Daniel chapter 1. You see, he finished well. Do you know the Christian life isn't a sprint? It is a marathon. It's daily. Daily spending time with the Lord, and Daniel had his time, and we're going to see this. And it was a daily thing, and it went all the way through his life till he was an old man. He had this connection with God, and he not only started well here in chapter 1, but we're going to see he's an 85-year-old man. He finished well. I can think of men that I know one man's gone to be with the Lord. I'd visit him each week. He's 86 years of age when he died. And he had a lot, there was times in his life where there was great difficulties. But you know, he finished well for the Lord. And I can think of another man, his name's Merle, 85 years of age. He's in his middle age, he had a lot of turmoil and a lot of trials come into his life. He lost a son and other things. But you go visit that man and you go to visit him to maybe try to encourage him, but you leave there encouraged yourself. He just wants to talk about the Lord. He's finishing well. And here Daniel is not only starting well, but he's finishing well. And the difficult choice that Daniel has here in chapter 1, it was a tough choice. And I just want to think about the background here in chapter 1 and think about his age, 14 to 17 years of age. And as a young man, he has to make right choices. And as young people, to make right choices when you're young, that will be the tenor of your life if you're making choices when you're young, because that's going to really see your life through. And that's going to be the center of your life. And Daniel, as he makes right choices, it's going to start here as a young man, but it's going to follow all the way through his life. And the peer pressure. And think of the background here in chapter 1. He's taken from his family. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar comes down, and here he is. He comes down and takes all the best out of Israel, and he brings them down into Babylon, and Daniel's one of those. And here he's brought into Babylon, and he's put in a university, 3 years. And the university is so that he could stand before King Nebuchadnezzar. And here Daniel has to make a choice. What am I going to do? Am I going to follow Nebuchadnezzar? Or am I going to follow the God of heaven? Well, Daniel, listen, your parents aren't around. We never read of Daniel's parents at all through the book of Daniel. Most likely they died. Daniel, your parents aren't around. Why don't you just go with the flow? Just go with it. Probably the other Jewish boys that were brought down, they probably said that. Listen, this is King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, we can just give a bit here, and then maybe later on you can make a stand for God. But you know what? Daniel purposed in his heart before he ever stepped into Babylon, I'm going to follow my God. And I'm not compromising. And it doesn't matter what happens. Even if I die, I'm going to stand up for my God. And what a difficult choice. He purposed in his heart. And you know, young people, really sometimes, well, all of us have to do that before we get into a situation, maybe just purpose in our hearts before we even get into the situation. That whatever happens here, I'm going to make a stand for my God. I think of my wife, Melanie. And she had two good friends. They were twins. They lived right beside her. They did everything with Melanie, my wife, and they were pretty well sisters to her. Well, when high school came along, they started to make decisions, and they started to make decisions towards the wrong way. And Melanie had to make a choice. She purposed in her heart that she was going to really make a stand for the Lord. And that did cost her something. Because as her friends went this way, she started to say, no, I can't do those. I can't do that. I can't go along those lines. And she made a stand for the Lord. And as she made a stand for the Lord, it was difficult. Now, later on, those same ladies have come back. They respect Melanie. They bring their kids over to our house. And they have Melanie has a real rapport with them. But those years were really tough. She said they were lonely. But if we purpose in our hearts to live for the Lord, you know what? He's going to draw right alongside us. And he's going to be right with us. And you see Daniel here, as he makes a stand for the Lord's right there with him. And the Lord's working everything out. And he brings him in favor with the chief of the eunuchs here. And God is working, and I love this about the book of Daniel, because you see tremendous prophecies through the book of Daniel. You see God working in the nations, and yet you see God working in the little details of Daniel's life. And think of the little details he works out in your life, though he's running the universe, though he's working in the nations, though he's doing these great things. Yet he works out in the little things in our life. I remember one time going to the university, and there was raining out, and I wasn't feeling well. And I just prayed to the Lord going in that maybe I'd get a parking spot near the door where I have to go in. And that never happens. Usually I go to the back of the parking lot, and I have to walk in with my bags. But I wasn't feeling well that day, and I just threw up a prayer to the Lord. I came around the corner, and it was the second best parking spot that I could have had. That does never happen. And I knew that parking spot opened up because the Lord allowed it to open up. And though he's working in the nations, though he's running the world, yet he's working in the little things in our life, and isn't he a tremendous God? And here Daniel, he purposes in his heart, and God's right alongside him, and God's working with him. So you come to the end of this chapter, and God blesses Daniel. And he becomes greater, him and his friends become greater than not just all the other Jewish boys. Becomes greater than all the greatest men in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Tremendous, isn't it? And if we make a stand for God, if we purpose in our hearts to live for him, and sometimes it's not easy, but if we do, he'll be right alongside us, and he'll bless us, and he'll use us, and he'll do great things through us. Just like he did Daniel. Daniel turned a nation upside down. One man and his three friends. And what could God do through me? You know, a lot of times I limit God. But Daniel sees his God as a big God. And God does great things through him. And he's working through this nation. And King Nebuchadnezzar eventually comes to know the true God of heaven. Amazing, isn't it? Because one man decided to stand for God. And what can he do through your life? If you make that stand for God. And sometimes, like I was saying, I limit him. But what can he do through me? What can he do through you if you just allow him to work through you? You see, it wasn't Daniel's natural ability that made Daniel great. We can read about the great things about these children in verse 4. These men were the best of the best. They were well educated. They were men well-favored, skillful in wisdom, and all these things, and these great things that these young men were. They had great natural ability. But it wasn't Daniel's natural ability. It's not the reason why we're reading about him here this evening. We're reading about him this evening not because of his natural ability, but because of his willingness to allow God to work through him. His willingness to stand for God. He always sides with God. I think of Gladys Aylward. She's 5'4". And she had a burden to go to China, she had a burden for the Chinese people. And so she went around and she started to tell her brother. She started to tell her friends, you got to go to China. The gospel has to go to China. There's open doors and their hearts are open to the gospel. She'd tell her brother, she'd tell her friends, until one day she realized, do you know what? God's not calling them. God's calling me. She left on a train across Europe. It's not like today where we could just get in a plane and be in China. It was very difficult to get to China in that day. She goes to China, and God did great things through that lady. She was 5'4". Later on, she came back to England and she told of all the great things that God had done. And she almost became a hero in England, and they ended up calling her high school, naming the high school after her. She said, you know what, I never passed an exam in that high school. I actually had a learning disability. But why was Gladys Aylward so great? And why did God greatly use her? Because she was just willing to be used. And here Daniel, he's just willing to be used, and God greatly works through him. And here he is, a young man, making very, very difficult choices. Well, let's go to Daniel chapter 6. And we're going to see Daniel as a young man, or a middle-aged man. And just to give you the connection here, in chapter 5, the kingdom has changed. It's moved from the Babylonian kingdom to the Medo-Persian Empire. And Daniel actually did prophesy that in chapter 2, that this would happen. Daniel would have seen that change. You come to Daniel chapter 5, and you see Belshazzar, which would have been Nebuchadnezzar's great-grandson. He had no time for the God of heaven. Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4 came to know the true God of heaven, which is amazing. But Belshazzar wanted nothing to do with the true God of heaven. And in chapter 5, what he did was they had this great fortress. And the Medo-Persian Empire had come against it. And what he thought was, well, we're well fortified here. We've got a river running through the fortress. And we've got food for years. So there's no way that the Medo-Persian Empire is going to be able to penetrate this fortress. And so they started to party. And they went to they went and got artifacts from holy artifacts from Israel. And they would have taken those artifacts and they would have, like cups and so on, and they would have drunk from them. They're really mocking God. In the midst of that party, there's a hand that started to write something on the wall. And so Belshazzar was scared. What's going to happen? They find Daniel. He's way back in the kingdom. He's a nobody in the kingdom. And so they bring Daniel up to interpret it. And Daniel interprets it. And it basically says this, Belshazzar, your time's short. It's going to end. You know what happened that night while they were partying? The Medo-Persian Empire actually dried up the river. And history tells us this, that they actually went in through the river. They went up right where they were partying. And they took over the kingdom. And then you come into Daniel chapter 6. And Daniel starts to become, in chapter 5, he's a no one in the kingdom. But all of a sudden, he's brought to the forefront. And he's made this great man in the Medo-Persian Empire. And Darius, who's the king at the time, starts to promote Daniel. And Daniel's starting to get more and more and more responsibility. And eventually, Darius wants to make him head over the whole kingdom. Here he is, a middle-aged man. Do you know a middle-aged life? Things get busy, don't they? And the responsibilities come, and they just keep piling on. And Daniel's responsibility here in chapter 6, he's got a lot of responsibilities. Three of them are over 120 princesses, the responsibility he has. Now, eventually, he's going to be over it all. That's what Darius wants. But you notice here. You see, there's a key to each of these chapters. In chapter 1, it's choices as young people. In chapter 6, as the responsibilities come and they pile on in middle age, there's one thing that Daniel does not give up. It's his time with the Lord. 3 times a day. And it's almost like Daniel is in, we don't know in chapter 1 how much he prayed. But it's almost like as the responsibilities grow, his prayer life gets bigger. Now, usually, I don't know about you, but with me, it's be the opposite. Wesley said this, I've got so much to do today. I've got to get up an extra hour earlier and spend time with the Lord. That's like Daniel, isn't it? Three times a day, he'd stop it. Doesn't matter what's going on. I'm going to spend, and everyone knew it in the kingdom. They knew what he was doing. He'd stop whatever he was doing. He'd go up to his room, and he'd pray. We don't know how long he prayed. But the effects of this man, the fragrance of him being in the presence of God, it was seen. And the effects of this man on the kingdom. They knew there was something about this man. Darius could see it in this man. But why? Because he was spending time in the presence of God. There was a fragrance about his life. It says here that Darius saw an excellent spirit in him. That as he spent time in the presence of God, that fragrance started to come out into his life. And what an impact. It says he had an excellent spirit. Well, there was opposition. There's jealousy that came in. And these men that thought, well, we're going to be demoted here and Daniel's going to be over us, they started to devise a plan. And the plan was this, is they were going to make a decree, and Darius didn't know it at the time. He didn't foresee what was going to happen, but the decree was this. If anyone supplicates, or as it says here, I'll get the right word here. If they pray to any other god, let's say a petition, that's the word I'm looking for. In verse 7, if they ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, if they ask of anyone else other than Darius, they'll be thrown into a den of lions. And so Darius thought, hey, this is great. I'm the king. And sure enough, he signs it, and while in the Medo-Persian Empire, nothing can be altered, not even the king. So if something's signed, it has to go through. Darius had his hands tied. He loved Daniel. But what does it say about Daniel? Just to think of the character of this man. What does he do? It's signed. He knows it's happening. Does he say, well, you know what? For 30 days, maybe I'll just pray silently. And I could just go around the kingdom and I won't go up to my room and pray as I normally, but I could pray silently as I walk. Does he do that? No. Right away, when he knew that the writing was signed in verse 10, he does what he did before. He goes right up into his room. He gets down on his knees and he starts to pray. But it's interesting what it says here at the end of verse 10. It says, and he gave thanks. But Daniel, do you know what's going on here? You're giving thanks for this situation. Okay, Daniel, you know that this decree is signed and you know that the outcome is being thrown into a den of lions. He gave thanks. And to think in every situation, whatever it is, that we can give thanks. We can give thanks in the situation. Maybe not about it, but we can give thanks. It says that in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And in everything, give thanks. I was driving along the highway. It's about a 20-minute drive from our house in Quispamsis to St. John. And I was on the highway. I'm driving along. I get off the highway, I come around the corner, and crunch, crunch, crunch. My tire fell off. And so I called CAA, and they came along, and got it all worked out. But afterwards, I started to think, what could have happened that day? Melanie was actually supposed to take the car that day. You know, I thank the Lord that she wasn't driving that day. I was just on the highway. The tire could have come off on the highway. I thank the Lord that I wasn't on the highway. And as you start to look back in situations, you could say, you could give God thanks that this didn't happen, that didn't happen. And here Daniel is thanking God in this situation. In everything, we can give thanks. But it's interesting what else he says here. Look at verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. What's supplication? It's praying on behalf of others, isn't it? You see, Daniel had a prayer list. Probably 120 princes were on that list. These two other presidents were on that list. He was praying for individuals in that kingdom. He was supplicating to God on their behalf. And maybe as he was praying, these men came along and grabbed him. Maybe they heard their names as he was bringing them before God. You see, he had no resentment towards them. These are men that work closely with him, and here they want to lynch him. And yet he's here praying for them. And you know, isn't that the Lord Jesus Christ? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, that's Christianity, isn't it? When he's feeling this opposition, and he probably felt it as he was working along, and then all of a sudden this comes down. He knew it was going on. And he gets down on his knees. And he starts to pray for them. He's probably misrepresented. There's probably things being said about him. But yet he'd get down on his knees and he'd pray for those individuals. But you know, there is therapy in that, isn't there? The Lord says, pray for your enemies. There's therapy in that. It's not easy, is it? But Daniel was doing that. David did that too. You look at David. I was just looking up what David said about Saul. If you look back in 2 Samuel, and he actually calls, we won't turn there, but he talks about Jonathan, and he talks about Saul. Now, Saul was after him most of his life. Wanted to kill him. But he says about Saul, he says he was basically a good man. Now, I could see Jonathan. But Saul? David had nothing, he had everything good to say about Saul. There was no resentment. There was no hard feelings. And Daniel here is supplicating on the behalf of others, men that wanted to lynch him. You know, it says in Romans chapter 12, it says, first of all, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And then it also says, do not return evil for evil, but return good for evil. And what is that, returning good for evil? Well, praying for others, praying for their best interests, praying that the Lord would help them, praying the Lord would save them. Pray that there might be favor towards them. And that's what Daniel was doing here. And yet they wanted to do him in. And isn't that Christianity? He's supplicating on behalf of them. And you see in Daniel chapter 6 here, God blesses him. We know the story. He goes down to the lion's den. And Darius is rejoicing in the end of verse 23 because he believed in his God, and God saved him out of the lion's den. Well, let's turn to the last one in Daniel chapter 9. And here we see Daniel as an old man. We see in Daniel chapter 1 a young man making right choices. We see in Daniel chapter 6, a middle-aged man, as responsibilities grow, his prayer life grows. And then you come to Daniel chapter 9, and here he is, 85 years of age, 85 plus maybe. We had 70 years to chapter 1. And what is he doing? Well, first of all, we learned that he's doing this. He's studying the scriptures. If you look in verse 2. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of God, word of the Lord, came to Jeremiah the prophet. that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. He's studying Jeremiah's prophecy, and as he's studying Jeremiah's prophecy, and we could actually look in Jeremiah, but I'm not going to, for sake of time, I'm not going to look at Jeremiah. But as he's studying, he finds out that the children of Israel are to be brought back into the land 70 years later. That would have been thrilling to him, wouldn't it? Here he realizes, well, the children of Israel brought back into Babylon. They're going to be brought, God said they're going to come back into the land 70 years later. It's actually twice in the book of Jeremiah mentions that. And he's excited as he studies the scripture. And here he is, an old man. He's still in the book. Remember Tiernus Wilson? He's a missionary to Africa. And he was asked one time, what keeps you going? He said, I've fallen in love with a book. That's what keeps me going. I think of the great men, the great Bible teachers in Scotland. They really were known as great Bible teachers, but a lot of them were miners, were coal miners. And what they would do at night, they would study the scriptures. And during the day, they would coal mine. But they were giants in the word. And they loved this book. And they grew in this book. And here Daniel, as he is here, he's studying the scriptures. He's fallen in love with the word of God. You know, there's no greater book that we can learn. All the books in the libraries of this world are going to be obsolete. But this book is eternal. And as we study the scriptures and as we learn a verse, memorize a verse, that's for eternity, because this book's going to last for eternity. And as we study the scriptures, it's an eternal truth that we're learning that's going to last forever. And so is there value in learning this book? Is there value in giving ourselves to this book? There is. Because it's eternal. And here Daniel, he's studying the scriptures. He's excited about the scriptures. And then also we see here he's praying. But he's praying on behalf of a nation. Now, if you look at the prayers in Scripture, they're usually quite short, but Daniel's prayer here is quite long. And he's worried that God's not going to bring the children of Israel back into the land. And he starts to plead with God on behalf of a nation. Here he is, one man pleading to God on behalf of a nation. He's an old man. But you know, sometimes as older folks, I've had a few say this to me. Well, you know, my service for the Lord is, when I was middle-aged, I could really serve him. I had the energy and so on. But now that I'm getting older, well, that's almost like my service for the Lord's done. But you know, it isn't. We can pray. Daniel's praying on behalf of a nation. We can pray on behalf of an assembly. We can pray on behalf of a town. We can pray on behalf of Canada. God can still greatly use us. I think of six old women. When I was growing up as a teenager, some of these women they had lost their husbands, some had never married, and they kind of all just stuck together. When I was at West Fifth Bible Chapel, and they'd kind of come in quietly, and they'd leave quietly. But you know, those women were prayer warriors. And you knew it. I was a teenager, and you knew they were praying for you. And they would ask you at times, can I pray about something for you? And they'd just take an interest in you. They'd come alongside you very quietly. But you knew when they were going back to their house, they were praying. They were really the heart of the assembly. And when they left and they passed on, you could feel it. Your work's not over. We can pray on behalf of those in need. And here Daniel's praying on behalf of a nation. We see a man with a great, great burden. Great burden for his people. And you go through here, he's such a humble man because he says here, we have sinned. He's pleading to God, we. And if anyone that was faithful to God, we could say it was Daniel. But he enters himself into it. And he says, we have sinned. We have done wrong. God, bring us back into the land. Here's this man. I just trust that tonight that you might just get a little glimpse of this man of God. And to think, you know, we have the exact same resources as Daniel. We have the exact same resources as George Mueller. We read of George Mueller and the great things that he has done. He had three orphanages. I think 1,000+ orphans. Never asked for a penny, and yet God worked through that man greatly. My wife is reading a book by George Mueller, and at times she would tell me things about the book. But a great man of God. Daniel, a great man of God. But we have the exact same God. We have the exact same resources. And God can use us. Just as he used Daniel. If you're a young person, make right choices, because that's going to be the tenor of your life. As you're young, the choices you make when you're young, and they might be difficult, but always side with God, because he'll bless you, he will use you, he'll work through you. And if you're making right choices for him when you're young, that will really guide your life. Middle age, as the responsibilities come in, don't put your prayer life aside. It's so easy to do. But add to it. Spend more time with the Lord as the responsibilities come. And then as you're an older, there's older folks here tonight. Your work isn't done. You can be just like Daniel, 85 years of age, enjoying the scriptures and praying for individuals. So trust that as we look at this man, he not only started well, he finished well. And if I personally could just get some glimpse in my life of this man, Daniel, it'd be wonderful. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee this evening for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done and all that he has brought us into. And Father, we have a great God. And it's the same God that Daniel prayed to. And Father, we thank you that you could do great things through us. Father, many times we limit you. We just pray, Father, that we'd allow you to work through us and that we'd just be a channel. And we just see your blessing flow out to others. And Father, that we might spend more time with you in your presence, drawing near to you. As we know, Father, you promise as we draw near to you, you'll draw near to us. Father, we just pray that we would be more like this man, Daniel, and we might make a stand for our God. We might have a greater connection with you. Our Father, we just thank you. Thank you for the assembly here. And thank you for the blessings of another day. And we just give thanks in our Savior's precious name.